The Rapid City Public Library podcast series continues this month with strange and scary experiences. Now, these can be unusual and unexplained phenomena, or they can be gritty real-life situations.
I'm Sophie Brown. I work here at the library. I'm 28, and I've had paranormal experiences my whole life.
Wow, okay. Let's start with the first one that you would like to share.
Just for some background, like, my aunts would see me talking to a rocking chair of my dead great-grandma, that kind of thing.
Wow.
So it's always been very present in my life, and if I walk into a place and it's haunted, I'm like, there's something hanging out here.
And like, you can tell right
yeah,
away.
Yeah. 99% of the time, if somebody's like, this place is haunted, I'm like, oh yeah, I know. I can tell.
Huh.
And so the first story I want to tell is the scariest thing that's ever happened to me.
Okay.
And it sounds, it's like the most kind of outrageous sounding too.
Okay.
But I will explain why I don't think it's a dream, because I don't think it's a dream. My mom was a single mom. She had me when she was 19. So we lived in this little basement apartment. And I remember it was the time right after she started dating my stepdad, because he had these two incredible beanbag chairs, like these early 2000s beanbag chairs. And he brought one over to our house because I was so obsessed with them.
Okay.
And we had fallen asleep on that beanbag chair. And I woke up to, you know, the DVD menu. That over and over again noise.
Oh, sure. Yep.
And that would always wake me up. I hate a repetitive noise. It woke me right up. And I was kind of sleeping in her arms. The only kind of time that you can ever fall asleep like that with somebody is with your mom. I was just like curled up into her. And our hall light was on. So it's like we're facing the TV. And then over to the corner is our hallway light. And in the back is our bedrooms.
Okay.
And I'm kind of working myself up to getting up to turn off the TV. I'm really comfortable. I don't want to get up. And from my mom's bedroom in the back, I hear her voice. Sophie, do you want to come in here? And like this sweet saccharine voice that my mom has never used in her life. I don't think she can.
Okay.
We have the same kind of, even when I think I'm sounding very sweet, I sound a little sarcastic. It doesn't really sound right coming out of my voice, you know?
Okay.
And she has the same kind of thing. And I'm looking at my mom, who is asleep. And I'm like, okay, what is going on? And it kind of repeats like that a couple times. Like, do you want to come in here? I need you to come in here now, okay? And then it starts getting more forceful. And it's like angry. And this does sound a little more like my mom's voice. My mom was a yeller.
Sure, okay.
So I'm like, well, this kind of could be my mom, maybe. And it's like, get in here. What are you not listening for? And it's getting angrier and angrier. And it kind of goes on like that for a little bit. And then it starts like screaming. Can I swear?
Yeah, I guess.
It's sure. Like, get in here. God damn it, Sophie, you little bitch. And then it stops. And I'm just sitting there like, what's happening? Oh, my God. I can remember that just like cold fear feeling. And my mom, she was a young mom. She worked really hard. She partied really hard. She slept like the dead. When I would have to go to school in the morning, I would be shaking her and screaming in her face. It would take me like 10 minutes to get her up like that.
Wow.
So she was out cold.
So there was no waking her up in that moment to be like, hey, a little reassurance.
I don't know.
She was out.
I didn't try. I think I was just so scared. I was just, like, frozen there. Like, I didn't want to do anything. And then it just kind of stopped. And I sat there for, I think, maybe, you know that thing when you're really scared? It's like, well, this could have been 2 minutes. It could have been 3 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know. But eventually I fell back asleep.
Wow. So you never did shut that DVD player off?
No. I just had to go back to sleep. I was like, well, I'm not getting up to turn off. I don't know, Zoolander or whatever.
Something was in the other room.
Yes.
Wow.
And so I had chronic nightmares when I was a kid. All the time. I have an anxiety disorder that presented itself very young. I was having stressful, horrible nightmares
all the time. And my dad, who I maybe saw every couple weeks, his idea of bonding with his very young daughter was, let's watch my favorite movies, Halloween, Scream, Blade, you know, that kind of thing. And so I knew what nightmares were and I knew what it felt like. And this was not that. I was awake. This was real to me.
Yeah, that's good context. And did you ever talk to your mom about that?
No, not until I honestly think it was one of those things that it's like I was going through a lot of hard stuff as a kid. My already real life was pretty hard at that point. So I think it was one of those things that I kind of I kind of forgot about it. I actually asked her about it a few years ago, and she was like, that's literally the scariest thing I've ever heard. Why have you never told me that?
Yeah.
And we didn't live in that house long, and honestly, I didn't spend that much time there because I was with my grandparents a lot when I was a kid. And I wouldn't have been alone ever at that point because I must have been 7 when we lived there.
Okay.
So I was never alone. And it was the scariest thing that's ever happened to me.
That was a rare opportunity where you basically were alone. Do you ever speculate? Be like, what if you had gotten up and gone in there? Like, what, you know, what would have happened? I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. And at that point, we were Catholic. I want to say my mom was not very Catholic anymore, but I was, because of my anxiety disorder, thinking about hell all the time. I was like, well, I'm going to hell. If I don't pray for 3 hours a night, everybody I know is going to hell. So I was like, this is a demon.
Okay.
That's what I thought at the time.
Yeah. Tricking you.
Yeah.
You had mentioned that this kind of thing, you know, you've experiences your whole life. That definitely sounds really scary. Was there like an ebb and flow? Like, did that kind of go away for a while?
You know, most of it from that point was just feelings. Like, oh, I can feel something. Like, this feels uncomfortable. I can kind of feel something on the back of my neck. It wasn't until I think the next tangible one that I can kind of remember being like, oh, there's something like going on here that has like a presence was when I was in high school. My best friend's house was very haunted.
Really?
Yeah. Like, so she's my longest friend that I've ever had. We were 14 when we started being friends. And I think when I started really staying at her house a lot, I was maybe 15, 16. Her mom was out of town for work a lot, I think is what it was. So I ended up staying the night at her house quite a bit, like even on school nights, just because she didn't want to be alone there. And it was like a 3-story house, I guess. Well, I don't know if a basement counts as a story, but it was like basement, first floor, second floor.
Sure.
And she had lived in the second floor bedroom connected by a bathroom to her sister's bedroom.
Okay.
But at that point, her sister was long out of the house. She's like a decade older than us, I think.
Okay.
And by the time we really started hanging out, she had mostly moved into the basement bedroom because the second floor bedrooms were crazy haunted.
Really?
Like, I was – when we would be on the first floor watching TV, we would hear the door slam shut, like, over and over again, slam, slam, slam. And I was in the bathroom up there one time. I think it must have been before she had fully moved all of her stuff out. And the door was rattling from her sister's side where there was nobody. And then it opened and it slammed and it scared me so bad. But there was one night her mom wasn't there and we were in the first floor living room watching TV or a movie or something. And she's like, I'm going to go to bed. I'm really tired. And I wasn't tired. So I was like, well, I'm going to finish this movie and then I'll come down to bed. So she goes downstairs to her bedroom, goes to bed. And maybe like an hour later, I have to go to the bathroom. So I'm going to the bathroom, just first floor, regular bathroom. And I left the door open for, I don't know, there's nobody else in the house. I just left the door open. And I heard creaks and then definite footsteps. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, I'm going to the bathroom. Like, hold on a second. Don't come over here. Because it was the bathroom was kind of in the kitchen. So I thought if she's coming to get a drink of water, like, I'm just going to be here peeing. So I was like, hey, hold on a second.
Okay.
Give me a second. And I come out and there's nobody there. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know. She must have gotten what she needed and went back to bed. And then I go back to bed, and in the morning, I was like, hey, why didn't you say anything to me last night? That was really weird. And she didn't come upstairs.
Huh. I've had a footsteps thing, too. Yeah.
And there was always just the worst feeling in that house when you were alone.
And did it matter? I mean, it sounded like the second floor had the most and the ground floor some. Like, was the basement clear or just a little less worse?
I think it was. Weirdly, I never felt anything from the basement. I don't think she did either. It always felt very safe down there. It was that second floor that was, like, the danger zone.
Wow. Did you ever research, like, the history of the house, find out if there's...
You know, I don't think so. I don't think so. I watch a lot of paranormal content. I've never done that. And I don't know why. Hmm. I'm just like, well, I don't know. There's a ghost here. That's just how it is.
Okay. You grew up where?
So I was born in Mitchell, South Dakota.
Okay.
And we lived there until I was like eight or nine.
So the first story was Mitchell?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we lived in San Diego for like 8 years. And okay. We moved to Spearfish when I was 14.
And Spearfish is where?
Okay, yeah.
Cool. Okay. Was that the only experience, like as far as like that house was kind of the thing that you remember from those?
You know, there was one. I always felt weird in the house that we lived in. We lived in the same house the whole time I was in high school. And I always felt weird. I lived in the basement and I always got that feeling like, you know, that stairs feeling, even though the whole basement was my bedroom. But I was like, if I'm caught on these stairs too long, that's a problem. That kind of feeling.
Really?
You know, like something is behind me and I got to get up the stairs really fast, which could just be that basement feeling. But the basement was my bedroom, so I don't know why it would make me uncomfortable. But we did have something there. My siblings, I was 13 when my sister was born and 15 when my little brother was born.
Okay.
And I was like a nanny for them, basically, for a long time.
Okay.
And we had this dog that he was still alive, so I must have been 15. Because I think he died when I was 16, got hit by a car. But so he was alive, and my little sister is looking outside because our front door was glass, and she's looking outside. She must have been, I don't know, 3, maybe.
Okay.
And she's going over and over again, there's a dog out there. It's going to hurt Coda. It's going to hurt Coda. There's a bad dog out there. It's a bad, bad dog. And there was nothing out there. And she would do that, I think, every now and again for a couple of months. And wow. There was never anything out there.
So maybe she could sense the presence. And often you hear like small children and animals.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that she's like red alert, but your dog was basically just outside doing his thing.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things like you hear it, you see it in movies sometimes they talk about it where it's like even just in like nice fantasy movies, they're like, well, when you become an adult, you stop accepting this as real. So it stops being real to you.
Yeah.
You just kind of turn yourself off to it. And I kind of think that's how paranormal stuff is. Like, if you really turn yourself off to it, you'll be like, well, that's nothing. That's this. That's whatever.
Right.
You'll just not try to pick up on it.
But your dog wasn't picking up on it.
He was, like, skittish and weird. And he was, like, whining at the time. But he was a husky, so he kind of was like that all the time. So I don't know, you know. He was just kind of like that.
Huskies do have unique personalities, yeah.
So okay. I don't really know if he was sensing something or if that's just how he was being, you know. Oh, actually, I forgot. I have like, I don't know if it's paranormal, but it's like one of those high strangeness things from when I was a kid.
Okay.
Do you know the term like high strangeness?
I haven't heard that, no.
They talk about it with like alien situations. I think it got started with like the Mothman prophecies kind of thing.
Okay.
Where it's like you're seeing, it's just like high strangeness. There's weird stuff going on. What is it? We're not really sure.
Okay.
So I think I said earlier, when I was a kid, we lived in Mitchell. My dad lived in Sioux City, which I think is like 2 hours away. And I would see him, like, maybe every other weekend. And we would always go to this weird little park. And he's dead, so I can't ask him where it was. And we didn't talk anyway, so I guess I wouldn't have asked him anyway. But it was, like, this weird park overlooking a lake. And there was just this one windy road in and out. Very strange, very, like, storybook kind of playground.
Okay.
Just like up on this hill, it was the only thing on that hill. And then there was a lake. I don't even know. It was so strange looking. And we were there. And one day we're just playing. I think I was swinging. And he's like, Sophie, look at that car. And I look over and it's like, I think it was like a station wagon, this car. And it's like mom, dad, two kids in the back. And they're dressed like Beverly Cleary, like 1950s, man in a suit, woman in like a little dress, like kids in smart little outfits, that kind of thing. But they're all wearing paper bags over their head. And it looks like the bags have faces in the way that you would draw faces on a bag.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I don't even, we just watch them drive up the hill and out of sight like that.
In my family, that'd be like a family prank, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's drive around and these people will, the rest of their lives, wonder.
And it definitely could have been, but it was like, I don't think we saw any eye holes or anything. And it was just so strange. And I got this like really weird, sick feeling. And I think about it so often. Like my dad died, I guess, I don't know, 2 years ago. And when he died, I painted like a portrait of us together, but he has like a bag over his head. Because that's like one of my most defined moments of me being with my dad. It's this really strange interaction.
And again, there's, you wish you could, you know, talk to him and be like, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Was that really as weird as I remember it?
And I remember we would reference it a lot at that park. And it became kind of like a weird inside joke. Like, what if we see them again? What if they live on the hill? Like, that's so crazy. It was like one of the only things that we, it was like one of the only bonding things for us. So I think we really clung to it for a while.
It's kind of a weird. Wow.
And he was like a really strange person in general. So I think he really loved that stuff.
Okay.
So he was like, yes, we experienced something really weird and gross.
Huh. Post high school. A lot of times, you know, everything will kind of shut down, or, you know, that door closes. Not the case with you.
So I went to Black Hills State.
Okay.
And my dorm was disgustingly haunted.
Which dorm?
Oh, it was all girls. Humbert. It was all girls for the year I was there, and then Humbert. I think it changed. Okay. I think it's the oldest one.
Okay.
I don't know that for sure. I think it is. It's the one when you drive into the school, it's the first dorm.
On the right,
yeah.
Correct? Yeah, okay.
The first dorm on the right, yeah. Okay. So, like, the first, when I am moving in, I met my roommate. She's lovely. Hi, Elizabeth, if you're ever listening to this. She was so nice, and we were kind of figuring out our space, you know. And so, you know, it was a classic dorm room, one room, and then there was a little cubby for a sink. Mm-hmm. And then right next to that, it's the closet, and the closet had a ledge that was pretty tall. We could barely reach up there. Like, I'm 5'5". She was maybe 5 foot, I think. She was pretty short. So I could barely reach up there. She couldn't be up there. She would have to, like, scale the wall. So we kind of, like, I think we probably shoved our luggage up there, or, like, my stepdad did when we moved in. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of forgot about it. And we had our little makeup stations over by the sink. And there was one morning I was getting ready and I couldn't find my foundation, which at that time, very important. I was 18. I was wearing so much makeup. I couldn't leave the house without that. Mm. And I was like, where's my foundation? And I was like, hey, have you touched this? Like, where is it? And she's like, I don't know. Like, whatever. Just use mine. So then, like, 2 days later, I was on the top bunk and I just happened to look over the closet and my foundation is shoved all the way back in the closet. Mm. Where I couldn't reach up there. There was no way. I don't think that she would have, maybe if she had hucked it, but it was sitting. Like, it was a circular kind of glass tube situation. It was sitting, like it was placed.
Wow.
So I don't think even if she somehow dragged a chair up there, I don't think she would have been able to do that.
Okay.
Like, there was really no way. And, like, I had to call one of my friends who was tall to come in, and he had to stand on a chair and get it, and he was, like, 6'3".
Wow.
Like, he had to really reach back in there.
Huh.
And stuff like that. And then we were on the outside. And I heard at some point that somebody had, killed themselves by hanging in that dorm. I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
I never looked it up. I will not do research. I was already a history student. I was not going to do an ounce more research than I was doing for class.
Okay.
But we would hear, our dorm was the corner, so we were outside two walls.
Oh, okay.
And we would hear what sounded like knocking, and not really rhythmic. You know how, like, pipes, it didn't sound like pipes. It sounded like somebody, like, kind of at regular intervals, and we would hear it every night around, like, 1:32. And we're like, oh, well, there's the knocking.
Yeah.
And I don't think there would be pipes on that wall anyway. I don't know if pipes go on the outside.
On the exterior wall?
Yeah, I don't think so. No. It was brick, too. It was brick walls.
Yeah.
So it's like, if it was a tree smacking it, I don't think we wouldn't have been able to hear that. I don't think. And it was just so regular. And every night would be like, oh, the knocking's starting. It's time for us to go to bed. It's pretty late. Like that kind of thing. And I do think around that late, late time when everybody's kind of in bed is when it would really kind of start kicking up in there.
Hmm.
Like I got home. I was working a restaurant job. I would get off at, I think, 11. And then I would usually go to parties, and then I would come home, like, 2 in the morning to shower. I've always been a real night owl, and I like to shower when there's nobody else in there. So I would go in the showers, and there was always a weird feeling in there. And one night I went to shower, and I showered, and then I went to the bathroom because it was, you know, the – you get in there, there's the sink area, and to the right is the showers, to the left is the bathroom stalls.
Okay.
And I got out of the shower, I left all my stuff in there, and I just went to the bathroom. And while I was in there, I heard all the shower stalls start slamming, like opening, slamming, opening, slamming, opening, slamming, over and over and over again. And I'm like sitting on the toilet, and I was like, oh my God. And I had to run back in there and grab my stuff. And when I had gotten back in there, it's like it stopped when I reached the sink portion. But I could still see him kind of like swaying. And I grabbed it and ran out. And then as soon as I reached the door, they started slamming again.
The knocking is always at a certain time.
Yeah.
Right? And that brings to mind where you have this repeated, you know, this energy from a repeated thing is sort of just echoing.
That's what I thought it was, too. It's just like...
this is completely different. Like, this is like an attention-seeking thing, right?
Yeah.
Was there any, like, anger? Or was it more like this kind of,
you know, I don't,
joking sort of...
That's a good question. I don't know. I think if that happened to me now, I would be able to say for sure. Because the house we live in right now is super haunted. And I can kind of feel like, okay, this is just... you're just trying to get my attention, but it startled me. Don't do that. I don't really know. I know I was really scared, but I don't know if that was just because there was something startling happening or if something was trying to scare me. I'm not really sure. But we would hear those banging a lot. And when I would be taking a shower, sometimes I would hear, like, the bathroom stalls opening and shutting, opening and shutting.
Wow.
And after a while, I was like, okay, I'm just taking a shower. Please stop doing that. That's really freaking me out.
Huh.
And... like, that was one of the things that, like, all the girls in my dorms were like, oh, yeah, this is really haunted. And there was one time I had to, I think our showers were clogged or something. So I had to shower on the second floor. And those bathrooms were so scary. The vibe in there was bad. It was a bad vibe. I was like, you know, I think I didn't even shower and I just went to my boyfriend's. I was like, can I shower at your house? And it was like, I think partially because they looked really scary. It was like a dark, weird gray color. And there was like these nasty, like 70s puke green bathtubs like in the middle of the room.
Huh.
It was really spooky up there. I didn't like it. And that could just be because it was scary up there, but it was really, really bad vibes.
Were you ever aware of girls on the second floor would sneak down to the first floor because they hated their shower?
You know, I didn't really talk to the girls on... I didn't talk to a lot of girls in my dorm because I was in a really bad place at that time. So I was like, I just want to go into my room and be left alone.
Gotcha.
But I do know, I'm sorry, Elizabeth, if you hear this, sometimes I was too scared to get up to go to the bathroom, so I would pee in our sink. I was like too scared.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, I'm too scared to get up to go to the bathroom. I know something weird is going to be happening in there.
In there. Wow. Just going to avoid the drama.
Yes. And there was one time, too, and I do think this could have been a fever dream. This could have been a fever dream, but it really scared me. it was like late and I was sick. I had a pretty high fever. And I have had kind of fever hallucinations before, mm-hmm. you know, like auditory hallucinations. But since it was haunted and this did really scare me, I'll just talk about it, even though this could be just something my brain made up.
Okay.
I was like trying to sleep and she was under me and she would have her noise-canceling headphones in sometimes, just like listening to nothing just while she was doing homework.
Uh-huh.
And she was doing that and I heard this like persistent whispering. That was, like, so quiet, I just could barely hear anything, like, kind of thing. Like, okay. That when you can tell somebody's talking, you can't tell what is being said. And I was like, Elizabeth? And it stopped.
Mm.
And then I was like, okay, maybe it was nothing. And then it picked back up again. I was like, Elizabeth! And I started, like, really yelling her name. And she's like, what? I was like, are you talking to me? And she's like, no. And I just went back to sleep.
Wow. But that was the only time anything in the room.
The dorm room. Except for my stuff being moved.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that was the only time anything moved either, at least that we could tell.
Okay.
I mean, I'm one of those people, you know, people tell those stories like, oh, if you really want to prank somebody, move their stuff just a little bit. I would never notice. Ever, ever, ever in my life. The only reason I noticed that is because it was so
inaccessible, yeah. Basically.
But if it was just, like, on a different table, never would have noticed. I would not be telling the story.
Okay.
I'd be like, I don't know, I must have put it over there.
Let's talk about the house you live in now.
Yes. The house I live in now is the first and only time I've ever been touched. And I've been touched several times.
And this is Belfouche?
Yes.
Okay.
It's one of those old, old houses that you can tell where the add-ons are. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's that old. You can tell this room is in an insane placement. They just plopped it in there like a square. So we moved in there. And when we moved in, there's a pretty small bedroom and a much bigger bedroom. Not quite twice as big, but almost. It's like a lot bigger. And my stepdaughter, at the time when we moved in, she was maybe, I think she was like 4. So we put her, we were like, well, we should put her in the smaller bedroom because my husband's a musician. He has a lot of equipment that we would want to put with us. But the smaller bedroom, it was like a weird layout. The door situation was kind of hard. It would be hard for her to get in and out of there. So we put her in the big bedroom and we just put his music stuff in there too.
Mm.
And it was like, well, it'll just be in this little corner. And I never wanted to go in there. I didn't really realize it until stuff started kicking off more, but every time I went in there, it felt so heavy and dark and bad, but only to me. He felt fine. She felt fine. It was very bad to me.
Okay.
And we would see, so that whole portion, it's like front door, which is quote unquote glass. It's plastic, but it still reflects. It's like the front door, living room, kitchen, that room. And we would see, like, shadows, like, shadow figures walk across the room. We could see the reflection in the door. I would see it all the time, and it looked like they were from that bedroom.
Huh.
And I would see that pretty frequently. And I never had really seen things either before this house. And there was a time my husband was making an album, and he always gets kind of weird and obsessive about it. He's one of those creatives, you know?
Okay.
But he just got, it was like, aggravated almost. And as the activity picked up for me, it's like he was being targeted in a different way. And there was like this situation where he found a crayon sitting upright on his desk.
Uh-huh.
And we have my stepdaughter on the weekends. And this was like on a Thursday. It was just sitting upright on his desk.
Okay.
And he was like, this is really weird. And it was red. So he started calling the ghost, what's red in Spanish? It's like Roya.
Roja.
Roja?
Yeah.
Roja. And so he started calling the ghost that, and he was having a much different experience than me. He was like, I think it's helping me be creative. Like, I'm getting all my best work right now. He has a song called that.
Huh.
But for me, it was getting darker and more oppressive. And I stopped going in there at all. And I wasn't even really articulating why at that point. It was just, like, there was a bad feeling for me. And what I did a lot of the cleaning back then because I worked less. And I would never clean in there. And one day I was like, Sophie, you're being ridiculous. Like, go in there and clean this stupid room. Uh-huh. It's fine. And I just felt this horrible, horrible, almost like squeezing feeling. And I was like, okay, I'm just like trying to sweep. I'm going to get right out of here. Like, it's total, we can coexist totally fine, like out loud. And I felt like something grab my leg, like a sting and swipe. And I run out of there and I look at my leg and there's two defined red marks on my leg. And I took a picture of it and sent it to everybody, but that was like 7 years ago. I can't find it, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
And that same thing happened again. I went in there again and I was like, okay, listen, that was not cool. We can't be doing that. Yeah. And it happened again.
Weird.
And then I did a Ouija board, which is probably a bad idea. And basically what I got was, it was like, I'm a woman that died here. Your husband reminds me of my husband. I want him for me, myself, as a ghost.
Wow. So she, that lends a little credence to, she did want to help and be creative.
Yeah, she's like, wow, you're doing such good work and your stupid wife is here.
Oh, wow.
Cheating on me with a ghost, which is a new one.
The jealous ghost. Yeah, wow.
And eventually I made myself a little herb bundle with like bay leaf and rose and like lavender. We're not trying to use white sage because that is a closed practice for Indigenous people. Oh. So I don't do that. And I burned it and I was like, you got to get out of here. No, you cannot be in here. This is unacceptable. No, 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 no. And I was just like yelling and screaming and like pushing the smoke out of the windows. And I think that spirit left eventually. So it was like, well, I guess I can't compete with the living, which is true.
That's really interesting. You bring up about, you said it was lavender?
Yeah.
And rose?
Rose and bay leaf, mm-hmm. Because that's kind of, I did a lot of spell work for a long time. I'll still do stuff with herbs. Uh-huh. And it's just kind of like a fortune and getting stuff on your side kind of herb.
Okay.
So I kind of incorporate it into everything. I put it in literally every soup I make. It's just one of those all things. Right. And that presence, we have not felt since. We actually swapped bedrooms eventually. And now I feel totally fine in there.
Okay.
And we haven't had another bad vibe spirit. Yeah, I kind of feel like that house is kind of like a revolving door. There's always like something in there. Huh. Sometimes we'll have like a clear couple months and then we start to feel or experience stuff again.
Really?
Like, this was not as scary. I do think it could be my fault because I'm a prolific thrifter. So I think I could be the problem.
So you're bringing in...
I'm bringing a lot of old stuff.
Okay, sure.
There was one time that I was at a thrift store and I saw a naked Raggedy Ann doll in a glass box and I put it in my cart and I was thrifting, I was shopping and I was like, Sophie, what are you doing? This is obviously haunted. Put this back.
Well, the glass box kind of, like, yeah. To me, that's the red flag.
Yeah, it's like, this is obviously a demon. What are you doing? But I had like, I was taking a bath in that house one time, and I felt like a tug on my hair. I had my hair up in a little bun, and I felt a tug. And I thought it was, I use elastic hair bands. So I was like, I thought it was, hair bands snapped. But it was still up. So it, now that I could recontextualize it, it felt like somebody kind of like giving my bun a little tug.
Hmm.
And I was like, no, we're not going to do that. I'm in the bath. And then it stopped.
Wow. So where you live now, you had mentioned it's kind of this revolving door situation where sometimes it's peaceful, sometimes there's things that are happening. Now that you work in Rapid, are you considering moving?
Yes.
When you go on, you meet the real estate agent, are there two levels when you're looking at what you're looking at the physical outlet of the outlay of the house and then like, how's this house feel?
Yes. Yeah, like I could tell that when I looked at the house that we live in now, I was like, this is haunted, but I was like, well, I can handle it. I don't think that 99% of hauntings, I think 99% of them are not that bad.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm okay with that. I can deal with that. If I walked into a place and they're like, oh, 30 people are murdered and tortured here, and I walked in and the vibes were horrendous, right. I would not live there. But other than that, it's pretty, I can live with you if you can live with me.
Okay. The peaceful approach.
Yeah.
Well, Sophie, thank you so much.
Yes.
For sharing. These are some fantastic stories.
Thank you.
Very cool.
If you have an experience that you would like to share, we invite you to reach out. Call the Rapid City Public Library at 605-394-6139 or email ask@rcplib.org.